So there you have a beautiful piece. You know what's interesting too about this piece to me? Gluck was an early classicist, and we're talking about the greater part of a century before the Romantic period exists. And remember, the 19th century, the Romantic period, really is an exposition of the human emotions for the sake of their being there, being extant, and for the composer to investigate. So we get the Schumanns and the Liszts and the Schuberts and Chopins and the searching for beauty for the sake of its being there. But Gluck wrote this back in the early 17, I mean, he wrote this in the 1700s. And what could be more romantic than that particular kind of melody? It also tells you something about this young woman who can wring the sponge dry at will. Now, the final piece you're going to hear, we're vaulting now to the 20th century. We're going to Stravinsky, as powerful a composer who ever lived, certainly during the 20th century. And one of his pieces called the Dansk Rus, the Russian dance, comes out of his Petrushka, which is incredibly. Now, this is not a transcription. It was written by Stravinsky himself, but here he makes a difference between a transcription and what he does with Dansk Rus. He does not layer difficulty upon this. It is in and of itself extremely difficult to play. A woman has no right to play this piece, and I sound like a sexist, but I'm only kidding. This young lady takes this piece and wrestles with it and defeats it. Now, what Stravinsky does, he sits at the piano and composes it from the orchestral originality. He simply extracts the music from there, transfers it over to the piano, brings it down to a point where 10 fingers can deal with it, and gives us one of the most sensational pieces written for the piano. Listen to Yuzhou Wang to this piece. You can hear the yelling. It sounds like a football game right there.
Yep.
She has taken the world by storm. The reviews, they're simply aghast at what she's able to do. And she's playing all over the world. And by the way, there's another side to her. We've heard today, I wanted you to hear her pianism, her ability to take this instrument and make it a tiny instrument under tiny fingers. For those of you who have any interest in some of the great music. She has recorded a lot of Beethoven, Chopin, many of the great composers with their larger compositions. She also plays with orchestras all over the world. Listen to her recording of the Rhapsody in Blue, by the way, or listen to her play a sonata with a great cellist or a great violinist. She does that with Joshua Bell, one of the great violinists. She is incredible. She does everything. She has a magnificent repertoire. It's constantly growing. She learns so quickly. There's no question about it. She is a great persona. Now, does she come down in history as a great musician? Right now, I'm wrestling with this thing, and perhaps there will be an answer. Tune in next week, as they say, and find out. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Liz. Okay. That was amazing. And yeah, I you had asked me to watch some Zhu Zhuang on YouTube, and I did. And it really, seriously, if you guys can get out on YouTube and take a look at this artist, she's unbelievable. Just hearing it, like you just did, is amazing. But watching her fingers fly around like that, you know, especially like when she's like 11 years old and that kind of thing, crazy. So thank you, Les. That was great.
Oh, you're more than welcome.
All right, this is WMFO Medford. Sorry, Bob Angel. I know we're a little late with the ID. All right, Mark. Mark is going to give us some restaurant reviews, some industry news, and then we're going to talk about our friend Tom Petty. Okay, Mark.
All right. So, not a whole lot of news out last week or two, which is good. We had a ton of closings, big closings, last time I was in. But actually, one of the big stories is that more and more breweries are coming to the Boston area. There's one called Percival, I believe, that just opened in Norwood. They were based in Dorchester. They were a contract brewer, which means they would outsource, you know, they'd brew their beer at other breweries. And now they have their own home in Norwood, so it's Percival.
Percival.
Percival, yeah.
Sounds like the first name of a nerd or something who, yeah, who has a bad cowlick.
Like a cartoon character.
Yeah, it does.
So there's another place opening a brewery called East Regiment, I believe. I hope I got that right. And it's going to be in Salem, downtown Salem, if it gets okayed. I think they're in the permitting process right now. So that means there'll be two breweries in Salem, Notch Brewing, which, have you been to Notch?
No, but I've had the beer.
Oh,
I've had
the beer. It's great. It's right on this little, I guess it's a little canal or a little tiny river.
I think the first time I heard that was because of Rich.
Yeah. Okay. It's a really nice place.
Yeah.
And they also have a cider company. And of course, the name escapes me, but Salem has a cider company and two breweries. Well, if this other one opens up. Other than that, not too much news going on. Couple openings coming up today, but I don't want to announce them because I'm a little nervous. Like, first day of openings, if they get too many people, it gets crazy. So, out of respect for them, I kind of know both owners a little bit. I don't really want to say. So, you'll have to figure it out yourself.
Thanks.
I know. How's that? Thanks for nothing, right?
Yeah.
Anyways, next time I'm in, I'll talk about them because they're two pretty big openings. As far as reviews, place in Hanson, which Hanson's kind of in the middle of nowhere. It's about midway between Route 3 and Route 24 in the heart of bar pizza country.
Hi, Mark Kruger out in Hanson.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we know somebody out in Hanson.
Oh, cool.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a great little area. I mean, there's a lot of lakes and there's a camp out there and it's... You know, it's not too far from Boston, but you feel like you're really away from it all. And there's a place down there called Damien's Pub. And it's at this little curve in the middle of the road in kind of a residential area. Old school. You remember the Buffalo Head in the Adirondacks. This place has a feel, same feel as Buffalo Head, which is just this old place in the middle of the woods.
There, Mike.
Oh, yeah. It's
okay.
Well, we should all go to Damien's. So Damien's is just this old wooden structure in the middle of nowhere, and they specialize in bar pizza. And it's so popular with bar pizza, they actually have a little area separate on the right where people go in and just get bar pizza takeout. And they also have this restaurant and bar area where you can get the bar pizza. And it's up there with Linwood and Cape Cod Cafe, really good stuff. They also have decent wings and steak tips and all that. So if you get down to Hanson, which isn't, you know, it's about maybe 20 miles south of Boston, definitely worth a try. And one more that I've been to before and we just revisited, called Ganko in Brookline. And I think you and I have to go here.
Okay.
Okay, hey, that was easy.
Yeah.
They have ramen, and they may have the best ramen in the Boston area. And they have pop-up events there. They have people come over, chefs from Japan, to do special events. And they bring these ramen recipes over from Japan. And we tried to go to one of the events a couple weeks ago, and I mean, the wait was ridiculous. I mean, there was like literally must have been like 30 or 40 people waiting to get in. So it's definitely getting, their name is getting out there as far as ramen. And right in Coolidge Corner in Brookline, it's in that arcade building next to, near the Coolidge Corner Theater. Definitely worth trying. And because it's ramen, it's cheap. You're not going to spend a whole lot of money. That's about it. Not a whole lot of news. Yep.
Volturno, you want to mention?
Yeah, let's talk about Volturno. They were in Worcester, or they still are, and they opened a second place in Framingham. And you work in the same...
Yeah, the same plaza where this... Plaza. This it's a pizza place, an Italian place, really. Full bar, delicious cocktails. They've just got a soft opening right now, which is kind of maddening because they're open at 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday. So we can't go there for lunch or anything.
So you could go after work. That's
about
it.
Did a couple of weeks ago. We had some colleagues in. Mm-hmm. Decided we'd go try it out. Man, it was just delicious. From the appetizers to the unique cocktails and the fire engines that showed up too because something blew up. But that's neither here nor there. It was delicious.
I know that they got certified.
What an explosive meal.
Yeah, it was.
They've been certified as far as, I guess, traditional pizza from Naples. There are places that get the certification. So they abide by all the rules about certain tomato sauce and cheese and all that.
Yeah, it's really gourmet pizza is what it is. It's crazy.
Well, they have one pizza. It's a lemon pizza.
Yes.
So
we didn't have it.
Slices of lemon on the pizza, and it sounded amazing. I was going to make one of those last week at home to try it out, but I wasn't sure if I'd get it right. It just sounds...
Fresh lemon?
Yeah, fresh slices of lemon on a pizza.
Well, I guess he won't be ordering that one.
I guess, you never know.
You never know.
So, I'm looking forward to trying that. One more really quick thing. I don't think I mentioned this last time I was on. There's a new place in Swampscott, and it's called Volo, I believe. Yeah. How prepared am I today, huh? That's what happens when you get too much sleep, I guess. But if you hold on one sec.
Sure. It's not like live radio.
Yeah, it's not live radio at all. I mean, this is a 7-second delay, so give me 7 seconds.
Okay.
So it's Volo Craft Pizza in Swampscott, and it kind of quietly opened. And when they first opened, they had Neapolitan pizza, and everyone's like, okay, another pizza place. Well, they kind of snuck in another kind of pizza recently called Detroit Style, which is a little like Sicilian, a little like Chicago. It's kind of like these squares of fairly deep dish pizza. And I think they double baked them or something like that.
Maybe add some car parts, some tires.
Yeah, you know.
Detroit.
Exactly. They make it in a factory. But it's Detroit-style pizza. There's only one other place in the Boston area that has Detroit-style pizza, Tapestry in the Fenway. And there's a chain out there. We won't talk about that. They make Detroit-style. But as far as independence, this place in Swampscott makes it, and... I haven't tried it yet, but it looks good.
Want to go there, too.
Okay. Well, so we'll head all these places, maybe right after the show.
All right. Well, thank you, Mark. Appreciate it. As usual, you made me really hungry.
Well, my work here is done.
Well, yeah, we have to talk about another musical luminary that very unexpectedly left us, Tom Petty.
It seems like every other time I come in here, we're doing a tribute to someone. I mean, David Bowie, Scott Weiland, Prince...
None of them are more
Chris Cornell.
None of them are more hard to take than any other, really. But this was just so unexpected. I know he smoked all his life, but geez, you know,
he's only 66
years old. And geez, he left us such an incredible volume of music. And, you know, we've got about a half hour worth of tracks to play. And as usual, Mark and I don't like to play the usual things that you would hear. Because, you know, I know Tom Petty from growing up in the environment of a commercial radio. station. So I'm very familiar with the hits and all of that, but I didn't know a lot of the deep cuts. So it was a lot of fun taking a look at his catalog. So Mark and I put together how many songs?
Six, I think.
I don't know. I forget how many it was. Whatever, but these are kind of off the beaten path. Not that some of them aren't some of the hits, but they might be different versions, although one of them is the same one, as you would think. But anyway, I know that you know him very well. Very familiar with his catalog, correct?
Oh, yeah. And you know what's funny? I don't want to spend too much time talking about it because I know we're a little short on time, but one interesting thing is when he first started out in 1976, it was when the punk movement was really beginning. And some of the songs on the first album, it's very heavy on the bass, heavy on the drums, and fast. You know, American Girl is a pretty fast song. And the thing is, people initially thought he was a punk rocker. And he wasn't. I mean, turns out he's classic Americana, classic rock.
Yeah, he'd be
now
called Americana today. Yeah.
Yeah, but back then they thought, oh, he will lump him together with the Ramones and Sex Pistols because it's all like really fast, you know, bass, guitar, and drums. And of course, the album cover, the first album, you know, he looks like a punk. Mm-hmm. He's got this look on his face like, don't mess with me, wearing a leather jacket. And everyone thought, okay. So he's another punk rocker, and then after a couple albums, people realize, no, he's closer to Springsteen or Seeger or, you know, that genre.
Yep, so I think from what we chose, Mark, it's a good representation of the way that Tom Petty could sound. So let's get right to it. All right, we've got a couple of songs here. I think it's six or seven or eight of them. I don't know. About a half hour worth. And this one you started, you chose to start off the set. And this one is called Hometown Blues. All right. Rest in peace, Tom Petty. This is WMFO in Medford.
So do a little song, do a little act, gonna make the best of her, baby. control. Yeah, you'll become his legacy. His quiet world of white and gold.
Give us a little of that drum figure for an intro.
Yeah, do it with that or just the straight beat?
No, the little lick thing you're doing. Yeah, okay. One, two, one, two. two. One, two, one, two.
Oh! is more like it.
You're listening to WMFO Medford.
To please somehow.
WMFO Medford, 10:45 in the morning. I'm Mike on the mic. Mark Hurwitz is with us, and his father Les is here as well. Hi, guys.
Hey.
How are you?
Kind of a downer. I mean, that's such a great way to end that segment.
Yeah, and we were just saying, we love hearing the tracks, but we're just sad that he's not here anymore. 66 years old, Tom Petty passed.
I still can't
last process Monday,
it.
I guess.
I can't process it right now. Same when Bowie, when he passed, I just couldn't deal. Petty had so much great music. He was just an honest songwriter, and
he was like a folky Americana artist, really. But he made it big. And now it's just a success story.
I think he was more surprised than anyone how big he became.
Probably. Probably.
He wasn't really one of those, real...
Not at all.
Out front and center types, like Springsteen. I mean, in concert, he was. But he seemed like more of a kind of an introverted guy.
But in concert, too, I mean, he was gracious.
Yeah.
I mean, he was famous for after finishing every track, he would say, thank you so much.
Yeah.
For the applause.
He was a true Southern gentleman, really.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what he was.
Yeah. All right, so let's talk about the seven songs we played a little bit. The first one was Hometown Blues.
Yeah.
And you mentioned that's kind of Elvis Costello-y, you thought.
Well, that came out, I was talking earlier about 1976, a debut album from him, where people thought he may be a punk rocker, which he wasn't. But some of the music off that album, it had that pub rock sound to it, which Elvis Costello and Graham Parker... And, Squeeze and some of these other, a lot of British bands were, the pub rock sound. And early on, Petty was, it was really stripped down. And that song, that is true pub rock. And you never hear that song on the radio.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then the next one you chose was from the Great Hard Promises CD. And that was, as they call it today, a collab.
Yeah.
Tom
and Stevie. And yeah, Tom
and not just Stevie.
Yeah, Laurie Nicks, too.
Yeah, two Nicks sisters.
Yeah,
there.
Well, actually, Laurie was Stevie's sister-in-law.
And, okay.
Yeah, close enough, Yeah. But Tom actually wrote that song for Stevie Nicks for her to do on one of her albums, and she decided she gave it back to him, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Stop Dragging My Heart Around, she chose that on her album instead.
That's right.
And but, I mean, what a beautiful song Inside Her is. And that album... That got played too much. I mean, it was played so much back in the day, and now you don't hear it, and now you realize just how incredible that record was.
Yeah, the Hard Promises record, the next one, also gave us King's Road.
Right,
yeah.
Which is a true rocker, and another song that you didn't hear much on the radio. And, that's a song that maybe Springsteen could have done, or it is true Americana. You might hear, I don't know, any number of bands... So much influence with Tom Petty with the Americana, R.E.M. and a lot of bands out now, even Mumford and Sons, who they're not from America, but they do Americana music, and a lot of their music comes from the Petty influence.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the next one we played was from Damn the Torpedoes, which was a protest record, really, of his. And what was he protesting? Record company.
Yeah.
He was pissed about the record, because that's what the whole thing was about. And I know I didn't want to play something that was a big hit and played a lot, but the song Refugee, there was a great alternate take of it on there, so that was that one. And then Mudcrutch, which was another band that Tom fronted, and I guess they got back together in like 2016 and did a Mudcrutch record, just the numeral 2 was the title of the record, and that was Dreams of Flying. And ever since I heard that, I just thought it was throwbacky, but just great.
Yeah,
it's just a great track. I like tracks about flying and driving, and all those kind of songs, and that just fit really well.
Same here. And Mudcrutch, Petty, that was his. I think it was his first band, right?
Yeah, because some of the Heartbreakers came out of that band.
Yeah, there might have been another band before Mudcrutch, but I mean that was the first band that people knew about, and the early stuff it's great. You can hear it on YouTube or see it on YouTube.
Yep. So that was Dreams of Flying. Then we went to a record that I see here called Let Me Up, I've Had Enough, Jammin' Me. Jammin' Me is the only legit big hit song that I decided to play on the version that we all know. It's just a great track.
And the opening, the whole rhythm section, that opening is just,
it's just such a great rock song just from start to finish. And then I mentioned on the thread that our friend Neil Bowman saw me on Facebook, and I said that I was putting together this set. That's like the third ambulance that went by this morning.
I don't know what's going on.
I don't know what's going
Hopefully
on.
Nothing serious.
I hope not. But he wanted to hear from the Wildflower CD. Wildflowers came out in 1994, and that was Wake Up Time. And we heard that a lot at that time.
Yeah.
But he was talking about how you have a hard time listening to it now without shedding a tear. And he's right, because the lyrics are very poignant to the time that you're listening to it, really. Back then, what did I know? What did we know? But it's all about everybody's having that epiphany in their lives, a wake-up time. And it happens differently for everybody. And it's kind of a sad song about the realization that, oh, geez, you know what, I better realize that if I want to make it, I've got to just wake up and get going here with my life.
And that was his second album, I think. It was Full Moon Fever was his first solo album, but basically it was the Heartbreakers, except for maybe one or two band members. But
I always get confused by that.
But it was 1994, and I think he was struggling at that time, and you can hear it in the music, very emotional music. And that's a very underrated album. It doesn't, again, you don't hear much of that, well, you do this week, of course, but didn't hear much of it recently, and Wildflowers is definitely a gem.
Yep. So thanks, Tom Petty, for all the great gems you left us. we'll not forget you soon, that's for sure.
That was a really tough day. I mean, the day started with that horrible incident in Las Vegas, and everyone's just totally focused on that. I mean, I couldn't even work for a while. And then all of a sudden, we hear about
Tom Petty.
It was
you on Facebook that just... You told me about that.
I'm just like, oh my God, this is...
What
just,
a day.
Yeah.
All right, 10:52 in the morning. Thanks, Mark, for participating with that. It was just a great set. I hope everybody out there enjoyed it. So we've got about 7.5 minutes left until Something About the Women is here at 11. So what do you say we do a short set?
Sure. Before we do, though, we have had a request, not for a song, but for you to spell out the name of the pianist so people can look her up on Google and YouTube. And
Clear it up, please.
Well, I'll be glad to do it, except that, I'm going to scold whoever asked that question because you're not paying attention.
it wasn't me. Just off the record.
I'll expend some energy and re-spell it. It's Y-U-J-A, okay? And W-A-N-G. And by the way, if I could simply add to... music I really don't understand because it's not in my bailiwick on Tom Petty. Of course I know who he was, but for me he was a direct parallel to some of the composers in the classical history aspect, namely by way of, and I use these two terms, centrifugal and gravitational. There are some composers out there, some creators in other words, of musical ideas who are whirring through space looking for new ways to express. This man struck me as absolutely not. And I'm not against centrifugal. I mean, this is how we go forward. But we can always go forward if there is an artist who is very truthful to himself in terms of the core of the human experience. And I thought, I was listening to a man of great gravitational strength, that he was whirring around a very succinct core of truth about how to express. That's all I need to say.
Thanks, Les. Okay, so let's have a short set here before we turn the festivities over to Something About the Women. New noise that I'll play is from the great new Foo Fighters CD called Concrete and Gold. This is Arrows here at WMFO Medford.
Thank you. Hey, this is Amanda Palmer and the Grand Theft Orchestra, and you're listening to WMFO Medford.
Johnny's got a lot of conflicting ideas in his head.